If you would, you can turn to Exodus, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read the 7th verse. It says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. We find here a passage of Scripture that is very familiar. As a child, we know that we learned the Ten Commandments and that this was one of those that we first learned. And I know as a child because of what this here says, because it not only tells us that we shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain, but it tells us what will happen if we do, because the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I can remember because of my parents from what they taught me that was something very serious, that there was words that little boys might use to express themselves, but one thing that Daryl wouldn't do would take the Lord's name in vain. And when I got older, I got out of church. Daryl used some language that was inappropriate, but one thing Daryl was very careful of because of what he was instilled in him was not the curse and the sense of taking the Lord's name in vain. What's it mean? We know that when we looked up the definition of vain, there's like 9 different definitions. But what it's speaking about here, to take the Lord's name in vain, would be to use the Lord's name with levity or profaneness. I think about that, and I think of those that we've worked around, those that we've heard before, and how that in anger they would take the Lord's name. And in anger they would ask God to curse something, even themselves before. How many of us have seen someone smash their finger or harm themselves, and without even thinking, they ask God to damn. As our grandfather or our father, I can't remember which, once asked a man, now just think about it, if God would grant your request and your finger was damned, where do you reckon the rest of your body would be? We were thinking about last night when the disciples asked Jesus rather, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray in this manner. He said, Our Father who art in heaven, or which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sounds to me like we've got two things. If they couldn't be further from themselves, one would take the Lord's name in vain, but yet the Lord would have us pray to the Father and declare, hallowed be thy name. Listen, just because I say it don't make it so. God's name is hallowed, whether I recognize it or not. Is it possible for a man to hallow God's name and still yet take it in vain? We know that there are those that have said the Lord's Prayer on Sunday, but yet on Monday they take His name in vain. But those that are truly hallowing God's name are those that have set themselves apart, those that have looked to God and looked to Him in reverence, and reverence His name, and honor Him as being sacred. Why? Because He is Creator of the universe. Why? Because He first loved us, and He looked down, and He provided us with the very thing that we need. So why then would we take His name in vain? The one that is so kind and great and holy and pure. But listen, just because we don't profane His name, just because we don't cry out His name in anger, it's not to say that we still yet permitted ourselves from using it in vain. Because it's not only to take His name in vain, to use it profanely, but to use it lightly. And though we might have stayed from one, there are very many that have stayed not from the other. And they take the name of God lightly. They live the
they would have not only not taken His name lightly, but not taken the plan of salvation lightly either. And you know there's a fallacy in a lot of people's way of thinking, and that's an either or. They look at two situations, and they think, well, it's either one or the other. When in fact, sometimes there might be more than two choices. There are some that would say here, it's either or. Either you're going to take His name in vain, and you're going to live your life as if the name of God is in vain, or you're going to hallow it. But because we might think in such a way, if we're not careful, we think that if we take not the Lord's name in vain, that somehow by not as it were from abstaining from one, just because we've not taken His name in vain, it's not an either or. It doesn't mean that we will hallow His name. Just because we abstain from one does not mean that we'll take an active part in the other. I'm afraid a lot of people today take not the name of God in vain, but yet they hallow not His name as well. As it were, I can remember as a child, there was a great flood in the Midwest, and there was people on the television, on the news broadcast, and you didn't hear the Lord's name being taken in vain back then on the television programs like you do today. But there was one man, and he was there, and in anger he took the name of God in vain. Though he was standing there and alive, he was angry at God over losing his worldly possessions. And I can remember as a kid, it scared me, because though even I'd heard it before, I hadn't heard it with such a hatred, with such malice. And I said to as a kid, I can remember thinking that these were words that should not be heard by this man, because no doubt of the community he lived in. I don't know what kind of a religious upbringing he had, but he had it within his knowledge that when he got mad, that he was going to blame somebody, and he blamed God. We're raising a generation today that have no knowledge of God whatsoever, whether he's good or bad. People, if they have any connection at all with the hallowed and holy name of God, it is nothing but a byword or a curse word. But I am thankful, church, if we would truly hallow His name, if we would truly reverence Him, if we would truly count Him as being holy, maybe the world around us would see that there's more to life than abstaining from taking the Lord's name in vain. You know, one could think about it and say that no doubt men take the Lord's name in vain because they hallow not His name. If you truly held it in reverence, you wouldn't be, as it were, you wouldn't be taking His name lightly. You wouldn't be profaning His name. You wouldn't be throwing it around like it was something, some word to use when you're angry, or when some word to use when you're not thinking. But listen, because we hallow not His name, we could, and not necessarily, because once we've already said, there are those that might not take the Lord's name in vain, that hallow not His name, though because maybe they don't even have it in their knowledge. If it were possible to get angry and to take the Lord's name in vain, does not mean that they hallow it. But if you hallow not the Lord's name, if you count it not holy, if you don't reverence Him for who He is, surely at the end of one's life, though it were possible to never take the name of God in vain, you yourself, no doubt, when you're old, you can truly look in retrospect, standing before God, though you abstain from taking the Lord's name in vain, your very life was a life lived in vain, a life lived of due to utility, a life that accomplished nothing. Why? Because everything that we could hope to accomplish in this world, if it's not for the Lord, it will melt away. It will burn, the Bible said, with the fervent heat. So then, let us understand that a life lived in vain, just as if we were to take the name of God in vain, we need to understand that, as we have read, the Lord will not hold a man guiltless that taketh his name in vain, and he'll hold him not guiltless of those that live a life in vain. Why? Because he's given us a choice this day, and this is not a false dilemma. I'm not presenting you two choices, and there's not another, or rather, in there that there is. But what I declare to you tonight is the fact that when life's journey is over with, you'll have to stand before a righteous God, and there will then only be two choices. Although we can live a life full of many choices, when it's all said and done, it comes down to the simple fact that God has created heaven. The Bible tells me that out there in the future, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and I want to take part in it with my Lord and Savior. The Bible also tells me that there was a devil and his angels that rebelled against God, and God created a place for them. The Bible also says that it has opened up its mouth, speaking of hell, that it's enlarged itself and has opened itself, its mouth, without measure. Oh, why? Because though it was created for the devil and his angels, there are those that are choosing this very day to flee from God and to cleave to those things that are evil. And one day, God's going to grant our request, and our actions will be met with the very thing we've been living for all this life. And that's the dollar. And maybe, or that's what I want, or what I think I need. At the end of a self-serving life, unfortunately, it's what we've been working for. And though unbeknownst to us, you know, it's truly is an act of craziness to think that we can live our life down here and we don't want to have nothing to do with church. We don't have nothing with Christians. We don't want to have nothing to do with God, and that when we die, that we would go and live with Him. When in fact, our whole life is spent running from Him. Well, one could say it's not a just God that would throw us into hell. Would it be a just God to give us that which we've not been wanting? You say, Daryl, nobody wants to go to hell. And though that may be true, there's a lot of people that live their life and they're not content except being with the crowd that worships the devil. So why then would it be a just God then to separate us from those that we've clung to all of our life? To separate us from those that we feel in companionship with, that we feel comfortable with? I've heard people tell me, I don't like going to church. I feel uncomfortable there. And yet they think that they'll enjoy heaven.
But in all honesty, as our pastor said this morning, and there's those that don't want to go to heaven, think it'll be boring up there. Well, you know, those other people don't have to worry about it. But the kind of entertainment that they're looking for, they'll not find where they're going. Though in a sixth sense, they will be entertained. Their mind will not be dull. Their mind will be occupied beyond their darkest dreams. But they'll not find pleasure then. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And why is that? Because man does not see what he is laying up in store for himself. Now, there are some parents that when a child is disobedient, though they might be out in public, they'll say, "You're storing it up." Talking about a disciplinary action, talking about punishment later on. There is joy in sin for a season. But if only we could see how short that season is. Do you take the Lord's name in vain by your actions? Do you count it light when you kneel before God? And I was thinking about that last night. Does Daryl, by his actions, take the Lord's name in vain? And I'm not speaking about in anger and in profaneness, but I'm speaking about in lightness. Do you realize that when we bow before God, who we're bowing in front of? Do you just take it lightly? That, I'll live my life and do as I please, but I'll take the Lord's name and use it as it were a badge or a trinket. Well, if you do, you're taking it in vain. Lord, teach us how to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Are you reverencing his name? Are you using those words, but yet not living a life that would reflect that? See, so then, yes, it is possible. It is possible to say, "Hallowed be thy name." And truly, I'm making an acknowledgement that the name of God is holy. But to hallow His name is much more. It's to reverence Him and to honor Him. It's nice from time to time as we pray to remind ourselves of that very thing. I think that's why Jesus prayed as He did, so that we might know that though the plan of salvation is free unto men, it had a great price, and Christ paid it. And though it is free, let us not be so foolish as to think that it is worth very little. Well, that's the attitude. I can remember that when I was in sales. That if you were having a sales promotion and you was trying to sell something, and if they bought this and this, you would give them this. And so many of them looked rather skeptical, as if the thing that we were giving them was worth nothing, since it cost them nothing. I remember one particular sold a man, an Amish man, a product, and I handed him. It was a blanket, calf blanket for newborn calves when they're born in the middle of the winter. And I handed it to him, and he looked at it, and he turned it inside out. I could tell that he was looking at the seams, and he looked up at me. And I could see the perplexity in his face. Almost to say, why are you giving this away? Because it was a product that was of great quality. Have you ever contemplated that, church? Have you ever, when you steal away and pray, look up and say, Lord, why did you give me salvation which is free? If we would just meditate on those things just a little while, we would have His name. We wouldn't live a life in vain, and we sure wouldn't take His name in vain. Let's get some song to sing. Have you abstained from the one, but yet not took an active part in the other? The Lord would just not have you abstain from taking His name in vain, but He would have you to hallow His name. Have you taken His name in vain? Not in the sense of being angry and profaning it, and bringing a disrespect or a mark upon the church. But have you just in some slight way taken His name lightly? And have you said, well, I just don't know if the Lord is going to take care of me. You're taking His name in vain. Saying, well, no, I'm just thinking out my doubts. Something we need to think about. If God has made a promise to us in His holy word, we know that God is going to follow through. And to question whether He will or not keep His word, is it not to take who He is lightly? So what should we do? I can remember when I was out of church, and I worked at this one place, and I was an angry child. And as I worked there, the curses that I would hear, I would just hear men use all manner of filthy language, and yet they would curse God as well. I can remember I quit going to church, and Daryl's mouth become just as vile as theirs. I can remember I was working on a bridge port, and I was over in the other aisle, and I can't remember what happened, but I just hollered out a filthy word. And I guess I said it with such intensity that Harry Smith, a man that would at one time laugh and make light of the fact that I didn't like to hear those filthy words, I could see he had his back and he shuddered kind of like that. And he looked over at Kenny Marshall. And I said to myself, Daryl, it's all right. You're not taking the Lord's name in vain. Daryl, you're not as vile as some are. Daryl, you're better than half of those that go to church. But I was living my life in vain. I can remember it wasn't very much longer that I got angry. And it was on the tips of my tongue. I cried out, God. And I caught myself before I said, damn. And I remembered, I believe it's the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I realize that to abstain from those words was only part of that commandment. But to live a life misspent, to live a life in sin, is to take God's name and look at it as nothing more than just that name. And not realize that it is by that name that men are saved.